Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to Parkcast, park fans. We're a podcast for theme park fans, and we're here every week talking about things in the theme park world. I'm Bex, and I've let him back on.
I'm back.
He's been allowed to grace my podcast studio. My husband Nick is with me on today's episode as well, because we are talking about a little trip that we've just done. So a slightly different episode of Parkcast today. I don't often do these. We did one for Six Flags Qiddiya, but we had such a good trip that I thought it warranted a full podcast episode. So that's why you're here. So
yeah.
Welcome back.
Expert advice.
Don't ruin it.
Can't promise anything.
No, never. So the park we are going to talk about is Efteling, which we've just come back from a three-day trip there. It was originally going to be a two-day trip, and we extended it. I will go into the reasons for that as we go through this podcast. But we just had the most wonderful time, and I know I've talked about Efteling a lot on this podcast before, but I've never dedicated a whole episode to it, and I really wanted to talk to you about some of the reasons why we love it so much as a family. And if you're listening to this and you still haven't been, maybe I can tip you over the edge and get you to book that trip, because I really, really think it's worth it. Whether you've got young kids, older kids, no kids, it's a theme park which just doesn't disappoint and doesn't let you down. So we decided to book this trip for our daughter's fifth birthday. It's a park we've been to before. How many times have we been?
Oh, God. Four, five? Must be.
I think maybe even more.
You've been more than me.
Yeah, so the last trip I did there was in October, and that was just a solo trip, me and my daughter. You were working, you know, making the money.
As you have to, yeah. Support these Efteling trips.
Yeah, that's it. So I did a solo parent trip there, which worked really well. Obviously, I couldn't go on the big rides because she's not tall enough for them and doesn't want to go on them. But we just did the real sort of younger kiddie stuff there, and that worked really well. But we had such a good time that my daughter asked to go back. And as it was her birthday and we had some time off, we were like, let's just do it. As you probably know, we live in Saudi for part of the year or most of the year. And we still have a house in the UK as well, which I use as a bit of a base when I come back here. So we were due to be in the UK anyway. Obviously, there's a lot of things kicking off in the Middle East at the moment. But it was just coincidental that we already had this break back to the UK planned. So we were here, and we live in Lincolnshire in the UK, which conveniently has a ferry port very close by in Hull. And we haven't done this before, specifically for an Efteling trip, but we took the Hull to Rotterdam ferry, which was a new experience for us as a family.
It's perfect. It's convenient. It's just up the road.
And it is. So we've always before done Dover to Dunkirk and done the drive, which is only about 3 hours when you're on.
You say just. It's only just 3 hours.
That's not far, though, is it? In mainland Europe.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
And driving in Europe is not a problem at all.
Oh, it's awesome. It's easy. It's better than driving in the UK.
So much nicer. The only problem for us is we live in Lincolnshire. So to get to Dover, that's about a 5 hour journey. So it's not the most convenient. The problem with the Hull to Rotterdam ferry is it's usually, or can be, really quite prohibitively expensive, especially if you're looking in the school summer holidays. But when we did it, we managed to get an offer, and I think it was it £300 return?
It was about £300 return, including the cabin as well, which was ideal.
Including the car, including the cabin, and it meant that we could get on in the evening, sail overnight, wake up the next morning and be 50 minutes from Efteling. And basically the same on the return. So the overnight ferry on the way back leaves at about 8 p.m. So you can have a full day in the park, jump on the ferry, get back, and then we're back in our house an hour later. So it costs a little bit more than doing the Dover to Calais or the Dover to Dunkirk. But actually, when you factor in the time and the fuel and all of that stuff, it started to seem just like a much more sensible decision for us, especially as we didn't have a load of time.
If you drove to Dover as well, you'd probably want a hotel stay the night before as well. So, yeah.
From where we are. Yeah.
So that absolutely factors in for that cost as well. Even if your Dover ferry is cheaper on paper, actually, in terms of time and that additional hotel, you might want to go for the whole one. And it definitely works for us.
When it was on an offer, like the price that we paid, it was absolutely perfect. So we did that and got a good night's sleep. And then we were literally, like I said, 50 minutes from Efteling. We got to the park at about 11 here. Yeah. I want to say, which is later than we thought. And the only reason for that is the new EU entry-exit shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
It's the word I'm going to use for. Which we've previously done at an airport. So we went to Frankfurt Airport in December and we did all our fingerprints and our photos and everything like that there. This was the first time we've experienced it on a boat. And it was quite a faff because every single car passenger has to get out of the car, go into the booth and go and do your fingerprints and your photo in there. And then obviously have your normal passport stamping and all of that. And then you get back in the car and you drive off. So that definitely slowed us down quite a lot. I reckon it took us an extra 30 to 40 minutes.
Yeah, definitely. And I definitely wouldn't like to do that on a busy day.
Yeah, if you're doing that in the summer, and I don't know how they're going to do it at Dover to Calais and Dover to Dunkirk. Like Dover, oh my goodness, I just can't imagine. I will be interested to see how that plays out this year because this was on, you know, the Hull to Rotterdam ferry, which is one boat arriving in the port, and the boat was nowhere close to being full. In fact, it was pretty empty and it still took us 40 minutes to clear it. So I don't want to be a doom monger and say it's going to be dreadful, but it will be interesting to see how they can make that process any better because that definitely was kind of unexpected for us that it was going to take long. I did always wonder how they were going to do it with cars because obviously at airport, you're going through a scanner and stuff like that anyway. And I didn't know how they were going to do it on a boat, but this is the way they've basically managed it and it's like get out your car and go in, which just seems not sure how that's going to work on a busier day. And for this trip, because it was our daughter's fifth birthday, we decided to splash out a little bit and we did book the Efteling Grand Hotel.
Yes, the premium deluxe room to be precise.
It was, and look, we are not bougie people. I know that it might sound like that when we just say we booked the Efteling Grand Hotel, but we're really not. We have done this trip on as many different budgets as you can imagine. We've done it super, super cheap. We've stayed at a Landal, which is like a cheap Centre Parks. We've stayed at Centre Parks, an EU Centre Parks. We've stayed at Lunchland. I've stayed at the Wonder Hotel. And this time we stayed at the Grand Hotel. So we've literally done this Efteling trip pretty much everywhere you can do it. The only thing we haven't done is a Eurocamp.
Yeah, we've looked at it.
We have looked at it.
I don't think we've actually done it yet.
No, not for Efteling. And we haven't done staying in one of the guest houses in Kaatsheuvel. Sorry, Dutch people. Kaatsheuvel itself, which are very reasonable. But by the time you add on your Efteling tickets, there tends to be not that much difference, which is why we have ended up at the Efteling on-site hotels in the past and why we did this time. Important things to say, if you book a stay at the Efteling hotel, any Efteling hotel, for your one night stay, you get 2 days entry to the park included, which I think is...
When there's a few of you, it definitely plays into that cost.
But it's just... It's just so nice to know as well that it doesn't matter when you arrive. You haven't got to think, oh, well, we can't go in the park till tomorrow.
Yeah.
You're just in straight away. And it kind of made me frustrated that we don't have that in the UK at your Merlin resorts. You know, whenever we've stayed at the Otton Towers Hotel or Splash Landings, you look at the price, you're like, okay, that's fine. And then you've got to add your tickets on as well. That's not the case at the Efteling Hotel. It's all included, your park entry for the duration of your stay, which I think is really good. It was our first experience of the Grand Hotel. Now, this hotel opened last year. I saw it in the park when I was there in October, and I was like, I sent a message to you, didn't I, saying, that looks nice.
Yes. hint, yes. I received that hint, and we went from there.
But it's in the park itself, and it's the only Efteling hotel which is in the park. It's literally got its own gate into the park, and... You don't need to go through the main entrance. You are straight into the park. The other closest hotel is the Wonder Hotel. That's only a couple of minutes walk, but from the back end entrance of the park. So if you stay at the Wonder Hotel, you come in near Carnival Festival, Vogelrock. Grand Hotel, you are at the front of the park, literally right next to the iconic main entrance, which one of our rooms looked out onto. So that was really cool and really nice to see. And I have since heard, but I can't verify this because we didn't do this and I didn't know this was a thing. So I'm telling you now. So if you go, you can tell me if it's a thing. that when you stay in the Grand Hotel, in the evenings, you can still go into the Fairy Tale Forest for a certain amount of time after the park is closed.
That was not made clear at all.
No.
And I've not seen that written down anywhere. There's not part of any of the Grand Hotel, like, stuff, pack up that you get.
No. People have said that they've managed to do it. Like I said, take that with a pinch of salt. I can't say that we were able to do it, but I have seen several people say it was possible for them to do that. So that could be another interesting reason to stay at the Grand Hotel. Not that you need another one, because I will say this very clearly, having stayed at Lunchland, having stayed at the Wonder Hotel, had great experiences at both of them, the Grand Hotel absolutely blows them out of the water.
Yes.
That
hotel's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah. And I don't know what makes it so special, really. It's not like it's not theme park themed. Do you know what I mean? It's not got that kind of whimsical, crazy theming. And the Wonder Hotel has a little bit of that, but done in a nice kind of way. It's not like in your face. But the Grand Hotel could have just been a luxury hotel anywhere in the world. It wasn't like you were in a theme park at all, really. The smell, every corridor you walked down smelled really nice.
Music as well.
Yeah.
The music that you pick up on when you go anywhere in the park, it's there in the hotel as well. And it's weird. It gives you that special feeling, doesn't it? And it's just something that when you're busy and running around, you don't really pick up on. But when you just sit there and absorb it, it just goes, yeah, this is amazing.
I think it helps remind you that you're in like a theme park bubble.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It's the music does follow you out of the park and into your hotel, which is lovely. And it's played in all the corridors of the hotel, but as soon as you shut your door, you cannot hear it at all.
Yeah.
Like, those rooms are absolutely soundproof. I didn't hear another guest walk past the door, nothing at all. And the first room we were in, we didn't ask for this, but we did get a park view, which kind of looked down the path, which takes you down to Symbolica. You can, when you're booking it, request that, or you can request a lake view or whatever. You can get a view which kind of looks over where they do the water fountain show. You pay a bit extra if you want to do that. We didn't. We just left it to chance, and we just happened to get that room, which was lovely. We did end up staying an extra night because I arrived conveniently with a migraine. And after spending a few hours in the park doing Carnival Festival, which I think tipped me over the edge, I'm going to be honest.
Tip anyone without a headache over the edge.
I did get to the point where I was beyond no return, and I said, I'm going to have to go and lie down. And that was actually a really convenient thing about being in the Grand Hotel as well, is that from where you are, wherever you're in the park, it's only a few minutes walk. And I could nip back there, went and lay down. You stayed in the park with our daughter, and you carried on enjoying your day. I just missed about 4 or 5 hours in the park with the banging headache.
When you go back to that whole, I've got 2 days in the park that's included with my ticket, it's bad. Yes, okay. You want to enjoy as much time in the park as possible, but you don't feel like you have to push on to the point of, well, I've got tomorrow as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If that was the case and you couldn't extend your visit, that was it.
Yeah. It was a relief to be able to extend it, but it was so nice just knowing that that hotel room was right there. Obviously, most of you are not going to arrive at Efteling with a migraine. This is something very specific to me. Always tends to happen to me. But it did happen, and anyone can get ill at any point, and that was a really nice thing. I think if we had been staying at one of the guest houses in the town, which is maybe a 10-15 minute walk away, that would have been a bit more difficult for us to navigate as a family. So again, not that it's likely to happen to you, but it is something that happened to us, and it just made a difference, us being in the centre of the park. And the only other thing I really want to mention, actually, there's two things I want to mention about the Grand Hotel before we move on to the park. The breakfast.
Wow.
I mean, I'm going to be thinking about that theme park breakfast for years to come. There's champagne. There is champagne with a theme park breakfast, like pour your own included.
The buffet was huge. Yeah. Like, a selection is just wild, as well as a menu as well, which is like, that's all included. You can order probably one of 10 things from the menu
on top of
everything
else. Continental buffet, and I'm going to inverted commas continental buffet, because it was like extensive. just and really good quality and really tasty. And I don't want to keep comparing it, but naturally these comparisons are going to happen. Like, we've stayed at the Splash Landings Hotel, I think, 3 or 4 nights last year.
I don't know why. We keep saying we won't do it, but then we keep doing it.
For the price we paid, it was all right. But then you look at the buffet and you look at what you got at the Grand Hotel and you're like...
Doesn't compare.
Doesn't compare. It really doesn't compare. And yes, it is more expensive to stay at the Grand Hotel, but not obscenely more. It's not like it's double the price at all when you factor in your tickets.
I think that's it. When you factor in that two days of availability to go into the park plus your stay... Even somewhere like the Grand Hotel becomes really, really competitive against somewhere like Alton Towers. And it's not even the same league as the Alton Towers
really
hotels.
Not.
It's worlds apart. And actually, you're getting value for money that you just wouldn't get.
I did say when we were in the Grand Hotel, I wonder if this is how it felt to walk into the Alton Towers when it opened. Like that level of grand, because that's what they were going for when they did that hotel. But obviously, it's just not been updated in 20-odd years.
That's what they need to return to, that very... Not the theming that they've got at the minute, where it's just all, like, ride-themed rooms and stuff like that. Just a
tacky.
Let's call it tacky. It's probably the best word for it. But just a very grand, special... I don't want to say value for money and give it, like, a back-to-the-tacky kind of stance, but that... You want a premium experience for what you're paying for, is what I'll say.
Yeah. You do feel like you're special at the Grand Hotel. The staff, like, treat you beautifully. They're all so friendly. I'm sure we'll go into it as we talk about Efteling, but everyone in the Netherlands speaks English, which I feel terrible about, but they do. So it's very easy as a tourist to be able to get by. So that was great. That breakfast buffet, chef's kiss. You did go to the hotel restaurant on the evening of my migraine. Obviously, I was struggling under a duvet. You were not that impressed with that for the price.
No, so that it's the Brasserie 7 restaurant we went to. There is another one as well. Mystique, that's it.
A fine dining sort of set menu, several small course type things.
So if you went without children and you wanted a date night, go there. Apparently, like, the food looks spectacular, and actually the setting's lovely as well. But we went to Brasserie 7. Now, looking at the menu was quite limited. There was a few choices on there, but when you're taking children and that's the one restaurant out of park time that you've got available to you without going into town, I'd say the choices for kids was terrible, really. The food was good. Like, the food that we had was of good quality. It came at a reasonable time. But then after that, the service was quite slow, I would suggest. And I've seen other people talking about this as well. That we were probably in there an hour and three quarters, I would suggest, which is quite a long time.
With a five-year-old
eating, and that's it. I'd say, like, once I was done, my plate was probably there for 25, 30 minutes-ish before staff came across and cleared it and asked for desserts, etc. But the food was good, choice limited, and service quite slow. So second night, I wasn't really fussed about going there. Again, when there's limited choice and you've got kids who are fussy eaters anyway, it's hard enough that one night trying to get something that they're going to eat. So never mind a second night.
Yeah. And we did, for that second night, actually venture off-site. Obviously, we had our car with us. And I did a bit of Googling and an all-you-can-eat buffet came up, which is literally 5 minutes down the road. It's called Lucky Apple. I'm never sure what to expect at a place like this, but it was very clean. It was very well run. They had fresh steak, which they'd cooked to you know, your order, fresh, like, teppanyaki grill, loads of sushi. But then they had, like, Chinese burgers, like, ribs, basically anything you can think of, loads of desserts.
Candy floss,
yeah. Beer and wine is included in the price, and a load of soft drinks in bottles. And it was, you know, as much as an all-you-can-eat buffet is going to be, it was a really decent experience. Again, not super cheap, but for us, this was actually on our daughter's birthday, so the fact they had on-tap candy floss kind of swung it for us.
She loved it.
But I would highly recommend, if you are going, to check that place out called Lucky Apple if you don't want to eat on-site at Efteling. It's the one thing that I did think the park misses a little bit is when the park's closed, where to go to eat. There is an Italian just outside the gates. It's part of Efteling called Pinocchio's, which would have been perfect for us, but it wasn't open when we were there. So there's the only options you've really got are the resort hotel restaurants. The best one, I think, on like when I've looked at reviews and overall value and stuff like that, seems to be the Wonder Hotel. And you don't have to stay at the Wonder Hotel to go there. You can book in as a guest from any of the other resorts. But that seems to get consistently the best reviews. And I think if you're staying at Bosrick or Lunchland, you can also get pizza delivery from the park. So
nice.
That's worth knowing. Sorry, little diversion into food. We'll come on to park food as well, but food is quite an important thing for us when we go to a theme park. So it does come up. And the other thing that's just worth mentioning, if you stay at the Grand, it has its own swimming pool, an indoor swimming pool, which the only other resort to have that at Efteling is Bosrick, which you can use if you stay at the Wonder Hotel, but those two resorts are not linked. So it's a bit of a walk, or you're going to have to drive your car around if you want to use that. But at the Grand Hotel, it's for Grand Hotel guests only. It's quite small, but there's a jacuzzi area in it. There's two little kids' pools in there. There's a sauna and a steam room, a massage area, and some comfy lounges. It's all inside. It's down in the basement of the Grand Hotel, and it's open till 10 p.m. So we found that actually really nice after a day in the park, to take our daughter down there, and she went and had a good splash around.
She loved it.
And
you can just relax and sit there, and she can paddle around.
Yeah.
You can go into the steam room as well.
Steam room, sauna. They give you robes, slippers, all that kind of jazz. So that was really nice. And another reason, actually, which would swing me to booking the Grand Hotel again, because it's just a nice little... Yeah, it's a little extra in the evening. It's like, okay, there you go. That's that sorted. That's about the resort summary. And now what I don't want to do in this podcast is kind of take you through ride by ride what we did at Efteling, because most of you listening to this will have either been or watched plenty of vlogs about Efteling or know about it quite well. And if you don't, there will be a vlog from our day and our trip going up on this channel. So stay tuned for that. But I just kind of want to talk about why it works so well for us as a family and why I think you should really consider going yourself if you haven't been, especially if you are at that stage where you've done a lot of the UK theme parks and you're looking to branch out somewhere, and Efteling is a park that keeps coming up, you know, in conversation or in stuff that you see online, and you're wondering why people talk about it so much, and it gets compared to Disney a lot, and I'm not going to do that. I don't think we should be comparing Efteling to Disney. Disney is Disney and Efteling is Efteling. But let's just talk about how it works for us as a family with a young daughter and the ride lineup. So the ride lineup's pretty extensive, I would say.
Yeah, definitely.
As the park is about as big as Alton Towers. We actually looked it up,
didn't we? It's bigger.
Slight in terms of acreage.
Yeah.
In terms of number of attractions, hugely bigger. Like there's so many more attractions at Efteling compared to Alton Towers, and they are mainly focused at younger children rather than full-on thrill seekers. But that's not to say that if you're a full-on thrill seeker, you can't have a good time there. The operations are good. How the park is presented is excellent.
It's so clean. Like, you just walk around the place and you'll probably not spot a piece of rubbish at all. Like, you've got staff all the time doing stuff. Like, when we were there, we saw them even in season updating stuff, like rethatching the roofs. Like,
yeah, that
how
is
do you
crazy.
Find, where do you locate a thatcher these
so
days?
So, in the park, there is quite a famous pancake house. Obviously, it's the Dutch. The Dutch love their pancakes. And they have a pancake house which does sweet and savoury pancakes. And it's got a thatched roof. So rather than just letting it rot and go, do you know what, that's a bit expensive to maintain, let's stick some tiles on it or a flat roof or something like that. Yep. They were literally rethatching the roof of this restaurant whilst we were there. Like, and quickly as well. I mean, progress was crazy.
Yeah.
But that is one thing that I really did notice. There's just constant enhancements happening. It's all like, over the park. Little ones that you might not even consider would need doing, but they're doing them.
It's like park management 101, almost. It's, hold on, we need to do all these little jobs, because if all the little jobs stack up, it brings the whole park down. And that's it. It's just constant little jobs, because if you leave a little job, we know for anywhere in the world that that will then cost you twice as much time, twice as much money down the line.
Mm-hmm.
So it's done early on as a preventative measure.
there's like there was a path that we saw them fixing, like a cobbled path.
Yeah.
And that was on our second day. And we walked past, we said, I didn't even notice that path looked rough or anything yesterday, but they were redoing it.
Restoned it, yeah.
And it wasn't being done with tarmac, it was literally being like re-cobbled. Really nice attention to detail when it comes to maintenance of the park. And I think also one of the reasons you don't get a lot of rubbish around is they have the famous Efteling talking bins, which holler at you as you walk around the park.
Papier here.
And the kids just think that's great because if they post some rubbish into their mouths, then they talk to them. So
I also noticed they got loads of baskets as well. Lots of hooked on baskets.
Yeah, like wicker baskets.
Yeah, for paper and rubbish and stuff. So people can just literally come along, just lift a basket, put a new one in, and that's it. And I think that because there's so many of them as well, that just gets people into that habit of dropping their rubbish in. It just gets people into that nice kind of like kind of cycle of keeping the park nice as well.
No graffiti.
No.
No like peeling paint that I saw. You know, it's not, don't get me wrong, it's not like a shiny, glossy park. It's not like Six Flags in Cadia, which is brand new and everything's fresh and everything. It's a very old park, but it's just, it's looked after.
It's well kept, yeah, definitely.
And you notice it as a guest. You really do notice it. In terms of our favourite rides there, we've got to talk about Danse Macabre, which this was our first ride on it. It opened last year. I didn't get to go on it last year because, like I said, I had my daughter with me. So this was my first experience. I've tried to avoid spoilers. I saw that most people said it was excellent. I saw a couple of people say they were a little bit disappointed. I didn't know what to expect. I don't know how you could be disappointed with that ride.
I thought, yeah, it's the first time I've done it as well. And again, I didn't know what sort of ride it was that I was going into. Like you get, you walk in, you pick up the theming of it being kind of slightly haunted, dark, etc. Like, okay, what's this? But actually, yeah, it was just, there's almost too much to look at, I found, on the ride.
Yeah.
So your eyes are going everywhere. Like, oh, something else has changed. Oh, now something else is happening over there. And you need to go on it multiple times in order to go, okay, that's cool. I've seen that. I've not seen that before.
Yeah. And you get, you depending on what seat you get a slightly different like vista of the ride as well. So I did it three times, different seat each ride, and saw different stuff each time. If you don't know, it is an Intamin dynamic motion stage. It's the first one of its kind. Is it a dark ride? Is it a thrill ride? We're not too sure. It happens in the dark, but it's not one that you go around on a track and sort of look at scenes. It all takes place in one scene, and without giving too much away, your seat kind of rotates and shows you stuff that goes on in there. And it's all set to, obviously, Danse Macabre, which is a very famous classical piece of music. So that was excellent. Our daughter's favourite ride, I'd probably say, is Max and Moritz.
Yeah, the amount of times we went on that, it's unbelievable. Although it did take a little bit of convincing to get her from the green side onto the blue
from
side.
From Max onto Moritz.
Yeah, yeah, because once she knows that she likes something, she'll stick to it. Yeah.
So that is a family powered coaster, which kind of races / duels.
Little bit.
Just, again, great theming in the station. Like, you notice that... so the launch of out of the station is themed. So it's as if they're sort of tightening a rubber band.
Yeah, so it's like the go-karts, the wind-up go-karts. And in the middle, you've got, obviously, Max and Moritz with a various array of cogs going up to this middle bit, which is the... I can't remember what they're called. They're quite old. They're the metal bands that tighten and then release and give you that energy.
Yeah.
They're tightening that and then it goes and goes and goes and then you get this action and then it releases and then you go. And it's just... It's my geekiness. But I think even that just combined with the theming and the trains, just it just makes that ride just something special as well.
It is just a family powered coaster at the end of the day, same as what you've got on Runaway Mine Train, RIP. It'll come back. But it's so well themed, and the fact that there's two tracks just means that it eats up that queue a little bit more, so you don't get those big queues like you get on Runaway Mine Train
as well. So again, yeah, so a lot, the throughput's really quick.
So we did that a lot. There is obviously also a racing Woody at the park, Joris and the Drac, George and the Dragon.
It races, does it?
It does race.
I didn't see any racing.
Well, yeah, you got stuck at the bottom of the lift hill. But it does race. That was running really well whilst we were there. We went on what was classed as a quiet 3 days. The Monday and Tuesday, definitely very quiet. Wednesday, weirdly a bit busier. Don't know why. It was still classed as a quiet day. I would say that turned into to lively with the queues that were there. But yeah, we didn't need to queue when on a Monday and Tuesday. I got on the Woody and literally, I mean, it was walk on straight up into the station. Worth mentioning, they do a baby switch system, which we're always very grateful for.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
When we do have a younger child in tow, we didn't need to use that at all this time because the queues were just so short.
Well, but we tried it once on Dance Macabre, didn't we? And actually, it achieved nothing.
It took longer than going in the single rider queue. But yeah, so some rides have single riders. Quite a few of them have single riders, and most, if not all of the big ones, have a parent switch option. So if it is a busier day and you have a young child with you, that is definitely worth doing. You don't need to go and collect a wristband or a card or anything like that. Just when you're on the ride, you speak to the ride staff and say you want a baby switch, and they will give you a card for your other half to use and get straight on down the exit. So that's excellent. Python, which is the park's old Vekoma, very weirdly smooth Vekoma, a bit like Millennium at Fantasy Island, like you just don't expect it. I just want to mention that because that was on about a 15-minute queue when I went to queue for it, one train, and they obviously thought that that queue was too long. So whilst I was there, they just whacked the other train on, and away it went. And that's the kind of... That's what I want to see at theme parks.
The
mentality of, do you know what? It's only a 15. This isn't a 45-minute queue. It's a 15-minute queue. That's long enough. We've got a second train. We'll get the second train on. And they just did it. And it took 10 minutes, if that, to get the second train on. And it just made everyone's day that little bit better by them doing that. They didn't have to do it. We were only waiting 15 minutes anyway, but they did it. And there we go.
Just adds into that guest experience, though, doesn't it? It's like what we're talking about. Just all those little things that they do in order to improve the overall experience. That's just Efteling's tagline, let's say.
I'll tell you what else improves our experience as a family. The playgrounds.
Oh, yes.
Every area, really. I think every area, maybe apart from the one where Max and Moritz is, they have got themed names, but they're very rarely referred to. And don't ask me what they are. I'm a terrible enthusiast. I can't remember what they are. But most areas have a playground of some description, usually quite a big one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We use them loads, even though we were doing all the rides and we got on every single ride there. Again, just as a bit of a... Let's not stand in the queue in a queue or be on a ride for a minute. Let's just sit down and our daughter can run around somewhere. They're just a godsend.
Yeah, definitely. Like, especially up near Python, you've got Nest, which is huge. And in the summer, it's got its own little cafe there as well.
Yeah.
So you can sit there. There's tables. You can do adult things, adult conversations, have an ice
cream. That sounded wrong.
Do adult things, yeah. Don't do that.
Not in a theme park.
Yeah, you'll never get invited back. Your little ones can run off and do little climbing frames. There's like a little, like huge climbing frame to go through, swing slides, little hidden away areas, but all contained. So they can't escape as well, which is brilliant.
Yeah, you can guard the exit on your bench and they're not going to get past you.
It just gives you that 10 minutes of taking the weight off. Just have 10 minutes just to sit, just soak up the ambience. Again, stuff that you can then sit and go, oh, I'm really appreciating this day, before you then move on to more rides as well.
It's not like a hectic theme park day. Do you know, does that make sense? It's just... You're at a theme park, but you're not rushing around. They also have a water splash play area, which when we went didn't have any water in it. Obviously, it's March, it's a bit cold. But worth knowing if you are planning a summer trip to take some, swimming costumes or a change of clothes or something like that, because they will get wet in there. But it's one of those ones where the sort of water splashes up and it's a kind of rubberized play area.
That's the one up near Vogel Rock, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, there's plenty of places to sit and just take in. There's a little cafe that we saw, which his name escapes me now, just across the way from that, isn't there? And then beyond that, there's another play area.
Yeah. Which is where you get in the entrance for the Wonder Hotel. Plenty of those dotted around near the Fairy Tale Forest as well. So great if you've got younger kids or kids who just want to not be in a queue or riding a ride for a minute. They can just go and run around and you can take a little breather. You mentioned the cafe, so just back onto food. And then talked about this quite a lot with the hotel, but it is worth mentioning Efteling food whilst in the park, because you are spoilt for choice with options. It's not excessively priced at all. I think it's very reasonably priced, actually. And it's not just your typical burger and chips, hot dogs. Don't get me wrong, you can get a hot dog, and there are several hot dog stands around the park, although I did notice that they were selling them with, wasn't it like truffle mayonnaise and parmesan?
Yeah, like high-end hot dogs.
This ain't your rollover hot dog, all right?
It did sound good.
They've got loads of those around. Unox hot dogs, which are apparently quite famous in the Netherlands. But then the sit-down, I say sit-down restaurants, you sit down in them, but they're basically self-service ones where you go up with a tray and you kind of choose what you want. They have so much variety in them. And the one at by Vogelrock in particular, I'm going to do a little video about on social media, so you can go and search that out. Just to show what is achievable with theme park food. Because you go in there and it was like you were in a deli. So you had
lots of choice.
Fresh baguettes with fresh fillings, fresh wraps, soups, like veggie bowls with like roasted sweet potato and couscous and then fresh grilled chicken, burgers, but they were literally like raw and you choose a burger and they cook it there in front of you. And it wasn't expensive. So you could get one of those like veggie bowls that I was talking about and fill your plate and it was €9. So what's that, about £7.50, something like that?
That's really good.
At a theme park?
Yeah, compared to a £10 foot-long sausage roll or something like that.
It is incomparable. Yeah. And if you want chips and you want burgers and you want fried chicken, you can absolutely get that as well. But the point is there's a choice and you're not ripped off for doing it. And because it is self-service as well, you're not really eating into your park time if you do choose that as an option. You're not like, oh, we've got to commit to going for like a sit-down waiter service dinner in the middle of the day. It's still quick, but it's just another option. And that really, like, I don't want to say blew my mind, because I know that this is an option and we've seen great theme park food at other theme parks as well, but with everything that's been going on at, you know, in the UK parks and a lot of the talk about how standards are slipping in the UK, it really cemented it to me when I walked into that cafe and I was like, yeah, why can't it just be like this?
This is how it should be done.
Absolutely. Why can we not have this as an option?
Yep. It's so good as well. I actually thought you were going to steal the plate off that guy that but it was just so colourful. And that's what struck me. I was like, it's colourful food. It's, you've got all your salads, but also your meats. It's like, that looks delicious and appetizing. Makes me want to go and eat it.
Yeah. And as we mentioned, there's got a pancake house there, which we did go and eat at as well. That is waiter service, but it was quick. It was rapid. Different sweet and savoury pancakes that you can get there. There's a mini pancake restaurant as well, which is basically the same, but mini ones.
We've got to mention Stroop Waffle, right? Absolutely.
This is our favourite snack in the whole of Efteling.
You would lose me for hours if you left me there.
Well, I mean, I nearly did. You nearly went in for number two.
Wasn't allowed.
The Stroop Waffles, which are the caramel-filled biscuits, you get them at Starbucks or wherever, supermarkets.
You can't compare them to Starbucks, surely. Like Dutch people are going to be in revolt.
Well, this is it. So they are a Dutch speciality. And in Efteling, you can get them literally freshly made, warm. They are opposite Longneck in the Fairy Tale Forest, and they are divine. You can get some with chocolate on and marshmallows and Smarties. Don't get them because they're not warm.
Maybe get that for your second one.
If your eyes are bigger than your belly. But they are just, they're delicious. How much are they? €3.50, I want to say, for a Stroop Waffle. But it's big.
Yeah, I would say that you're pretty much correct with that. But yeah,
they
a good
so
size.
Good.
A good
do
size.
Not, if you go to Efteling, do not leave without having one of those Stroop Waffles. Okay? Thank me later. But that is my top theme park tip for Efteling.
Justify it by walking around the Fairy Tale Forest and then you're working it off
there
as well.
There you go. And that's one thing we haven't mentioned as well. So we talked about, obviously, a great ride liner, which you can read all about wherever you want to go. There is something for everyone, young, old. Playgrounds. Great food options, and then the Fairy Tale Forest, which I would say takes up about a third of the overall park.
Definitely.
Area. And as you might expect by the name, it's a forest filled with fairy tales. But traditional, like your classic fairy tales.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, all your
Red
standard
Riding Hood,
ones.
Rapunzel, a donkey some, who poos coins.
I was going to say, there are some ones that I haven't really recognised from my childhood.
I don't know if this is a famous Dutch fairy tale, man, let us know. But yeah, there is in the middle of it, you can contact the scan because it's 2026, a donkey, and he will poop out a coin, souvenir coin, for you to take home. So, I mean, who doesn't want that? But as you go around, you can go in a lot of the buildings. It's a little bit like, don't knock me down for this, and I mean this with absolutely the best of intentions, Sundown Adventureland.
Really?
Where, you know where you've got like the little houses and the little animatronics? Don't get me wrong, it's much higher quality than that, but it's that kind of quaint, oldie worldy.
Yes. And I think this is what goes into the Efteling vibe as well. I think that's why we like it so much, not because we're just old, but I think that's why it's so successful, because it takes adults back to their kind of childhood.
Yeah.
I think this, the Fairy Tale Forest especially, it's not because it's old animatronics, it just takes you back to that special time.
Yeah. I can imagine some Disney adults going to the Fairy Tale Forest and being like, what?
Yeah, what is this?
Yeah. Compared to like the Disney sheen of things, but it's not, it's meant to be like that, like you say, it is, it's nostalgic, and it is, it's like you've taken the pages of a fairy tale book and made them real. Like, there's no gloss on it, there's no Hollywoodification of it, it is just as it is. And you know, some of them are quite like, well, that's a bit much. There's, you know, there's ones, it's a story about like 6 or 7 goats or something sat around the dinner table, and there's a wolf knocking at the front door, and you're a bit, and he looks pretty scary, and you're like, oh, it's a bit much for kids. But you know, these are the fairy tales that exist, and it's kind of nice that they do that. And the parts of the Fairy Tale Forest have varying degrees of how much you can interact with them. So some of them you just kind of look at, some of them don't move. Other ones you can actually go in the buildings and kind of see shows and videos and things like that. So all totally different. But it, again, if you go into Efteling, do set out some time to go and do that. Don't just think at the end, oh, we'll spend like 20 minutes and nip around the Fairy Tale Forest. It does need a little bit longer than that. And it's really peaceful in there.
Yeah, you don't feel like you're in a theme park at all.
You're
detached from it, because obviously all the trees as well.
Yeah.
So you feel like you could just be walking around a very nice woods.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of weird, and it's quiet, and yeah, it's just a lovely place to be. That kind of sums up why we love Efteling and why we have been back 5 or 6 times and why we will definitely be back again. And it's not probably out of the question for us to be back this year. If we were in the UK full time, I think I would say without a doubt we will be back at Efteling this year. It's a little bit trickier for us. Is there anything else that you think that everyone should know about Efteling or not miss, or something that you want to share?
There's just so much to it. And I think that's the beauty of it. There are so many elements to Efteling. And as I said, I think we love it. And I think adults love it, because it drags you back to that simpler time, that your childhood, the quaintness of it as well. And especially when you come out of that fairy tale forest into that kind of the old Efteling, as I would call it, kind of where they started with they've got the various, like, the swing rides, the carousels, the indoor steam power carousel.
Museum there as well, with all their old stuff.
Yeah, I think you just, it's almost like walking back in time. And that's the beauty and the magic for me of Efteling, is being around those bits. And you've got kids of all ages, kind of our size kids now, to little kids on those carousels and loving it. And you hear the music of the carousels as well. And it's just, that's just the magic right there.
Yeah.
And I think that is not missed in the rest of Efteling as well. They've taken that old Efteling magic and spread it into the rest of the park as well.
Even when they've got very new,
technologically
advanced attractions like Dance Macabre. Obviously, Symbolica is the ride everyone knows about, trackless dark ride with 3 different options. We did all 3 over our trip there. We've done all 3 in the past. There's not a huge amount of difference between them. So if you've only got a chance to ride it once, don't worry, which one you pick doesn't really make a difference. And then actually the one thing we haven't spoken about is Baron, the dive coaster, which is currently down. It is due to reopen at the end of April in time for their new kids attraction, which they've built next to Baron, which is Hugmud. Apparently it translates to pride or something. And the idea is meant to be pride comes before a fall. And they've built it next to Baron, which is obviously a fall with a mine shaft. So it all kind of links in. And don't get me wrong, this looks brilliant for three kids drop towers with a 90 centimetre height restriction. The theming that's going into them, they look like chimney pots. It was testing whilst we were there. Like,
sits really well in that area.
Oh, just perfectly blended in. But Baron is currently down. There is apparently, this is only I get my information from TikTok, an issue with one of the supports or the foundations of the supports, which we could see quite clearly. The entirety of the track is fine. There's just some...
They cordoned off a section, haven't they?
Just one very particular specific support, to it. Yeah, which they seem to be working on. But once it reopens at the start of May, fantastic, you know, dive coaster. And that's your kind of level for your thrill seekers. You've got your water coaster as well, which is next door, like I said, Python, the Woody. They're your big sort of thrill rides. And although it wasn't working when we were there, I missed it, but it didn't in any way impact
us. No. And you've got plenty of other stuff to go at. Even kind of at the time we went, where your water coaster, which is one of my favourites there, wasn't open as well.
Yeah.
So
that's having its winter maintenance done at the moment. Obviously, it's a 365 park, so they have to do it at some point, and it makes sense that they do it in February, March.
And again, we had 3 days there in the park, didn't we? And again, I don't think we probably did everything.
No, there's probably a couple of things. I'm trying to think what we didn't do, actually, because we were quite meticulous about it. Oh, we didn't do the rapids.
There we go. Told you.
We could have done, but we didn't. We didn't want to get wet. But yeah, this is what I mean. There is something for everyone. If you've got a 6-month-old or even a newborn baby, there are rides that they can go on. If you have a 17-year-old teenager, which I also have, there are rides that they can go on. And you know, he would tell you that he loves Efteling as much as our 5-year-old daughter. If you have no kids at all and you just go as a couple, which we did the first time we went, you have a fantastic time there. We've never had a bad visit. I love it. I hope I've convinced you to go. If I haven't, there's literally nothing more I can say. And I haven't been paid to tell you any of this. I wish I was. I mean, Efteling, give me a call. It's just a wonderful day. Wonderful for a weekend. Wonderful for a school holidays, or whenever you can get over there. It is a park that I really, really want you to go and try. And let me know how you find it. And if you have been, let me know what your favourite tips and tricks are for Efteling, or if there's anything that we haven't mentioned today that we should know about, because then we can seek it out on our next trip as well. See? Useful. That's all from Parkcast for today. I hope you've enjoyed it. I know it's a little bit different today, but I did think it was worth talking about. If you haven't already, hit the like and subscribe button. That way you will never miss an episode when we release a new one. And if you want to leave us a review, you can do that as well. For now, though, we've been Parkcast.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.